CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Holdline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Iraq. The Iraq War in the early years of the 21st century. A complete trouble for the Bush administration, for the Obama administration, until the decision was made to leave Iraq and then ISIS. These years later, what is Iraq for the United States? A visit by the U.S. Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin. And we welcome, Malcolm and I, Michael Knights, who's here to help us understand that was then and this is now. Mike is the Jill and Jay Bernstein Fellow at the Washington Institute. Michael, a very good evening to you. What was Secretary Austin's mission? What is the relationship between Washington and Baghdad today? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on. Secretary Austin is no stranger to Iraq. He served there as the commander of coalition forces, as the head of formations during the invasion and afterwards, and now he's back as Secretary of Defense. His visit to Iraq in this case was to do something very specific, which is to go and talk to our friends, the Kurds in northern Iraq, to knock their heads together and say, the U.S. really demands that you guys stop your rivalry between the two major groups up there in Kurdistan, work together, and, you know, the U.S. will back you and will continue to give funding to your armed forces, the Peshmerga. If you don't work together, we can't help you anymore. So it was to send a very stern message. But he turns up at a time when the U.S. Is also engaging very heavily with the new Iraqi government down in Baghdad of Mohammed Shia al-Sudani, who is the new prime minister. And the U.S. is saying essentially, we will hold our, not our enemies, but we'll hold an Iraqi government that we have quite a lot of suspicion of very closely, and we'll see if it can be, if its actions can be affected by a very strong U.S. embrace. So that's where we are right now in general policy.
Malcolm?
How do you see the U.S. assessing the direction that Iraq is moving in? Do they move closer to Iran? Are they willing to continue the fight against ISIS and allow U.S. troops to continue to operate from Iraq? Or do you anticipate, the leadership anticipating a shift in Iraqi policy?
Well, right now we're in an interesting crossroads between those two scenarios that you're talking about. You know, the Iraqi government is undoubtedly closer to Iran now than it was 6 months ago. The new government was put in place by Iran-backed militia leaders. And at the same time, the new prime minister, Mohammed Shia Sudani, has said, pretty much for the first time by any Iraqi prime minister, the U.S. can stay indefinitely as a military partner, and we'll continue to fight ISIS together. So it's not a simple story. You know, on the one hand, we need to worry because Iraq has been taken over by Iran-backed Shia militias. And, you know, Iraq is five times as populous as Lebanon, which is controlled by Hezbollah. It has, you know, the fourth largest oil production in the world. So that's not a good news story. On the other hand, this new Iraqi government is doing everything it can to look cooperative with the U.S. And at this point, when the U.S. is so focused on Russia, Ukraine, China, the U.S. is sort of saying, well, that's good enough for us right now.
The story about the Kurds, you said that General Austin, Secretary Austin, was there about the Kurds. What is their ambition? What is their imagined future, Michael?
Well, all Kurds like to imagine that they will have an independent Iraqi Kurdistan that's separate from Iraq. But recent years have told them that they probably don't have the political, military, or economic clout to fully separate from Iraq. So what they're instead looking for is a kind of semi-autonomy with respect, with a lot of respect built into it. And as a result, they've started to make alliances with the Iran-backed Shia leaders down in Baghdad. But the thing that's holding back the Kurds from getting this kind of good enough autonomy solution is that the two main Kurdish parties, run by the Barzani clan on one side and the Talabani clan on the other side, both old friends of America, are fighting each other at the moment in this kind of factional war. And so, not a shooting war, but mostly a kind of a war of assassinations and a media war and a war fought out in the courtrooms of Kurdistan. And this kind of clan feuding is getting in the way of the Kurds working together to go down to Baghdad, get the kind of semi-autonomy deal that they want and that the US wants them to have. So the US is currently knocking heads together, and there's no better person to do that than Secretary Austin.
And is his message well received to the Kurds? The Kurds have been very good friends of America, at least to my knowledge, back to the Gulf War, the first Gulf War. Do they feel bossed around, or are they cooperating?
Well, half of them feel bossed around and half of them like to cooperate. So the people who are running the Kurdistan regional government, local government, the Barzani clan, Kurdistan Democratic Party, sorry, so many acronyms, those Kurds are getting kind of bossed around by the US at the moment, who are saying to them, share power with the other guys, the Talibanis, the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan. And, one side doesn't want to share power, and the other side is saying, we want our half, basically. And the US is trying to split the difference and say, agree on some things, be united, then we can support you strongly, and you can go down to Baghdad and try and close a semi-autonomy deal that's been 15 years in the making.
Malcolm?
So if we look at this, Secretary Austin's next stop was in Israel, what kind of assurances do you think he could give them about the fear that Iraq becomes a base for launching missiles by Iran, that Iran is going to take advantage of the vacuum moving closer? Can they give any assurance, do you think, after this visit?
Well, they could point to one thing, or the U.S. could point to one thing, which is to say, we are no longer receiving rocket fire or drone attacks on our own facilities, our own U.S. facilities in Iraq at the moment, under this new government of Mohammed Shia Sudani. So perhaps the fact that his power is made by the militias indicates that, his success is their success. If he looks weak, if he looks like he can't control the militias, if he looks like he can't guarantee the protection of American bases, then their own government is weakened and they may get less benefits out of the US and the international community. So they might point to that and say, we are starting to form an understanding with these militias in Iraq that they don't do anything too destabilizing. Now, for the Israelis, they're not going to be reassured by that, because in the last couple of years, we've seen Iran-backed militias fire drones at Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, at Abu Dhabi, the capital of the United Arab Emirates, and into our own forces at Syria, in Syria. So, for the Israelis, they'll look at Iraq and they'll say, Iraq is a gaping hole into which the Iranians can pour missiles to bring Israel under greater threat. And there's nothing that the Iraqi government can and probably will do about that in the event of a major theater war. One final thing to mention is that with the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, it's basically blown open the Iraq-Syrian border, because now you can drive a truck of, quote, earthquake relief, end quote, all the way from Iran through Iraq into Syria and Lebanon. And the Israelis will be not only more hesitant to strike that truck, but they'll find it harder to work out which trucks have genuine earthquake relief in them and which trucks have, for instance, missiles or other kinds of weapon systems inside them. So it's a challenging time for the Israelis with reference to Iraq.
Going quickly to Syria, General Milley, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, visiting Syria. To what end? What was his mission? We have a couple of minutes, Michael.
His mission is to firm up the cooperation with the Syrian Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces and to dissuade the Turks and the Russians from taking any kind of action that would endanger that Kurdish enclave in the northeast. So we're showing the flag.
And General Milley is satisfied. I understand this is the first visit of the top general. So this is a deal of diplomacy at the same time. Is that correct?
That's right. It's a piece of defense diplomacy where you put a very senior U.S. general into that area to reassure them that we're not going to let them get overrun by the Russians or the Turks if those two countries make a deal of their own.
Less than a minute, Malcolm. Question.
Do you see, in fact, the impact of Erdogan loses in the election, if Turkey destabilizes, if the border, as you said, is open to all of the shipments that are going on, and we understand Iran has increased the number of shipments of weapons going into Syria. Is there any option for the U.S. to try and stabilize this, to diminish the chance that this will lead to further outrages?
I think the U.S. is going to be looking at Turkey with a lot of concern in the coming months, because Erdogan does stand a chance of losing the election, and he does stand a chance then of trying to overthrow the result. And we know from past experience that when he faces challenges at home, he often sends his forces abroad to go and attack, for instance, the Syrian Kurds. So that's the key scenario that the U.S. is going to be worried about at this time.
Michael Knight, Jill and Jay Bernstein Fellow, Washington Institute. He is also the co-founder of Malicious Spotlight Platform, Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.